Salut tout le monde! On est de retour sur le podcast cette semaine et on finit notre tour d'horizon du BTC 9 with our homie, James Clark, the champion. What's up, man?
Not much, man. It's an honor to finally get talking to you.
Man, I'm really happy that I get to talk to you too, because I gotta say it, man. As soon as I saw your first TKO fight, bro, you became one of my favorite fighters, man. I was like, this guy is so fucking crazy, man. He's got some work to do. He's young in his career, but he's gonna become like one of the most exciting prospects. And I think like we're really getting to see everything like pan out as it was supposed to. Right about now, man, you finally, after your last fight, finally having a winning record, winning a belt. And fuck, man, now you're on your way to great things, and you'll be one of the headliners of that BTC 9 card. You'll be defending your belt, so I wanted to talk about that fight and lots of stuff with you, but how's it going, man?
Hey, man, it's like you said, it's the plan is finally starting to come together. I like to think I'm one of the humble guys in the game. I'm grateful for the opportunities that MMA's given me. Like I said, I've had 15 amateur fights. I'm one of the guys actually that's put in, some might say I put in a little bit too much work in the amateur scene, but I did my fair share growing up there too. I didn't expect to end up with a 1-3 record as a pro. I thought I was going to jump onto the scene a little bit quicker, but hey, it's all part of the plan, right? Sometimes you need to get humbled once or twice more. So, I mean, it's an honor to be fighting under Jesse Ronson now. So, I'm the co-main, and what a great event to have as well, right? Jesse Ronson's actually he's one of the guys I look up to in the game. I remember when I lost to James Mancini, I won't say too much because sometimes I say too much, but he gave me some words of encouragement. So it's an honor to be co-main to that guy, right? Yeah, I'm excited, man. I got a tough fight in front of me, though. That's all I'm concerned about. I'm gonna put it on the line for you guys, man. That's how we do it. We put it all on the line, and I'm ready to put it on a show, man.
Of course. Can you just move a little bit to the left? Just a little. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Because I had like a button, and it was right in the middle of your face. So I saw everything except for your face, but now I got you. We're in business, and it's awesome. Before we get to speak about this fight, I really wanted to speak about the experience you just had in Singapore, because that felt like it was a great time, and you were there with great people. I know Maddie Poulain is awesome fucking guy, Jesse Brockman too. So just speak about that experience. What was it like for you to be able to represent Canada in this tournament?
Oh, man, it was incredible. It was everything I thought it was going to be and more. It took me out of my comfort zone in a lot of ways. See, what was unique about that is I had to make fight weight. I didn't know that. 100%. They called it, the whole time they called it a hydrated weigh-in, they were calling it. So I did my research on one champ, because it was basically a tryout for one championship, right? The winner gets $100,000 contract with one FC over five fight deal, right? So that's what I was going for. And if you brought up my very first pro debut for TKO, and I was pretty, just to touch on that real quick, I was almost famous for what I said on the mic after the UFC actually shared it. I just quit smoking 6 weeks ago. Well, what I was talking about was cigarettes. I went my whole amateur career smoking cigarettes. I had 15 fights. I went 13-2. The only two losses being to Louis Jourdain. I fought Louis Jourdain for my debut. My coach didn't want to tell me that he was 5-0. I didn't know he was 5-0, but it doesn't matter. because he didn't know, we didn't have a relationship. We met each other about 2 months before that, and I tapped him out, and he knew I was a killer, and so he threw me in there, which I'm so glad he did, because I got humbled right off the bat meeting someone like Louis, right? And then my other loss being to Tony Laramie, and then it was pretty much a clean slate for me and the amateurs, so I smoked cigarettes the whole time, though. But, so anyway, I said on the mic, just quit smoking 6 weeks ago, bitches, or whatever, and, the UFC shared it, and I was kind of, I was almost noticed, more for my personality then, and not my skill, so, but anyway, I've been smoking, I smoked the good stuff the whole time, like, our whole country obviously just became legal, right?
Yeah, right, man, I feel you on that right. one.
but for Singapore, they were drug testing, and so that's what I wanted to touch on there, is because they said they were going to drug test for marijuana, so that, I wanted that contract so bad, I quit smoking for 8 weeks, pot and everything. And so clear-headed, it was the best I ever felt. I had to touch on the Singapore thing. It turned out, I did a bit of research, and it said that a hydrated weigh-in, you have to be within 5% of your fight weight. So in flyweight, that's 6 pounds. When I got there, they told me, no, hydrated weigh-in means you got to be on weight 2 days before the fight. I had to make flyweight 4 days in a row.
Fuck.
So... yeah, my last amateur fight, I was cutting 18 pounds of water weight back then. So, and I was eating pizza. I had to learn the hard way and everything I did. I've never taken the right team. I got Justin Bruckman is my head coach now, and I still fight Big Country, still my gym. I'll never leave Big Country, but now I have guys that have reached the highest pedigree now, right? Like the dude fought GSP, right? So yeah. he knows what he's talking about. When he says something, I listen. So I got a strength and conditioning coach for the first time for Singapore as well. So I mean, I was ready to go 5 5-minute rounds. I didn't have to. It was 3-minute rounds, amateur style, against pro fighters. Every fight was a pro fighter. My last guy being like 6-2 pro record. So there were no easy fights. It was definitely not an amateur tournament, even though, you know, it was kind of staged like that a bit, right? It was very well run though. Yeah. So making flyweight for 4 days in a row, I pretty much proved myself. I could probably go strawweight if there was the right opponent. We just don't have it's just not worth it in Canada, right?
Yeah,
like,
no.
I'm all about fighting the big names. If I would have took the easy route, I would have gone somewhere else. And, you know, I used to play hockey. You play hockey, you play football, you don't play fighting, right? So
of course, man. And like,
oh yeah,
go ahead.
No sorry. Okay. The internet connection, we were talking over each other, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. But and you went to the finals in that tournament, and like, I spoke with Maddie a little bit. He said you got robbed. So what was your take on that final fight?
Yeah, I still believe it was very controversial. Like I said, Justin Bruckman, he's been in the game a long time, and that guy, he won't ever hand me the hero cookie unless I truly deserve it. And he told me I got robbed. So I mean, coming from that guy, I was pretty shocked. But even the ref came up to me afterwards. The ref said that I got robbed. The ref even made sure and went over and talked to them to make sure, because he didn't want to raise the wrong guy's hand, right? No excuses in this game, though. The thing about that fight, I rewatched it, and it was a little closer than I felt. I still feel like I definitely did enough to win the fight, but the guy was from Kazakhstan, and you know what those Russians are like, Kazakhstan, Russia, they're all tough, right? They come from a hard enough country, and they know how to wrestle. So the first round, I was doing my armbar. I had him from my armbar a couple times on the bottom. But what was cool is they did live scoring. So we knew the whole time. One judge gave me, or two judges gave me the first round. The second round was close, but I know he won. He won the second round. Third round, I had his back almost the entire round, and one judge is the one who messed it up, but he gave it to that guy because he felt like I wasn't doing enough. But it is what it is. I'm not gonna cry over spilt milk. I went over to him. The guy knocked on my door the next day. He wanted to have breakfast with me. So no excuses, right? I think actually being controversial though, it almost gave me a little bit more exposure with ONE Championship. A couple of the higher up guys said that my name was between me and the other guy. I don't believe that unless the promotion told me that, but it was close. I'd love to fight that guy again in a rematch at ONE Championship. I still have one fight in my contract with BTC, so we'll see where it goes. But I think the dream for me is ONE Championship. Don't get me wrong, I'd settle for Bellator or UFC, but I got an Asian fetish, Fabian. It needs to be fulfilled.
But yeah, man, that was kind of my next question, because like you've been saying, you're a flyweight. You could even make 115, as you said, and like you pretty much answered my question. But I wanted to know, is the goal for guys like you ONE Championship? Because like we've seen it in the recent years, that's where it's at. Best flyweights in the world. Like there's some left in the UFC, but I don't think nobody's gonna believe that. The guy that's gonna win between like Benavidez and Figueiredo, nobody's gonna believe they're the best flyweight on earth. Like everybody's gonna still say that is Demetrius Johnson, that he's the best guy. And if you've seen the Grand Prix they had done, like caliber was super fucking high, man. I really feel like that's where it's at. And even for a guy that could make 115 like you, they got a full division of 115 guys and some pretty good two guys. Yep. I think there's Joshua Pasio guy from Philippines. And there's another Japanese guy. I don't quite remember his name, but like they got some real elite 115s too. So like you pretty much answered my question, but I guess that like the goal for guys like you 125ers pretty much became one when Demetrius Johnson switched league, right?
Exactly, man. I like Demetrius Johnson, how he plays the game, a lot like GSP. Very like humble. You'd never hear too much shit talk out of him. And I try to incorporate as much of this into my game as possible. But I grew up in a rough neighborhood. I've been fighting in the street my whole time. I got in bar fights before I actually took the fighting serious. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not as proud of that now, but at the same sense, I have that Nate Diaz switch to me, whereas even Gabe was talking a little bit of shit to me. This is actually the first guy to ever talk a little bit of shit. He called me the paper champ. He was trying to get the fight he was trying to get it before Singapore, and I actually agreed to that fight. I agreed to this fight. I told him in the comment, "You're a tough fight. I don't know why you're talking shit. I agreed to this. I told Rob Vibers I will fight you on short notice, whatever." I had four opponents drop out. That's why I wasn't on the last card. And BTC didn't want him because he was on a loss, I guess. And they had their own issues, but it is what it is. So back to the Nate Diaz thing. I'm not scared to anywhere, anytime, and I don't mind talking a little bit of shit back now that you, if you're going to get me going, I don't have to do it for money type deal. The main goal is to be respectful and to I will always, no matter what, I'll always shake someone's hand, win or lose, draw. Doesn't matter. Like, you leave it all in the octagon, right? But back to the Demetrius Johnson thing. His first fight with Cejudo, he knocked him out, right? And then the second one, very close. You could give that fight to anybody, right? The second fight, I mean, Cejudo was, in my eyes, he was lucky to get that, because look at GSP and Hendricks. I still think GSP won that fight, but controversy's everywhere in the game, right? So, if you don't finish the fight, to me, that's just a win in MMA. That's not a win in for a fight. To me, you gotta make me quit, or we can just keep going. Unless it was so decisive, right? Like, if you won every round, okay, maybe you shouldn't get a rematch or whatever. But you can't go around. I wouldn't go around acting like I just killed, like I dethroned somebody, you know? The dude said he was gonna save the flyweight division. It blows my mind that, like, how he acted. Like, he didn't save shit. but it's all part of the game. Back to the strawweight thing, though. The rules, I don't know if you follow it that much, but now, just what I did in Singapore 4 days in a row, like, I weighed in at a hydrated weigh-in, right? That's how the strawweight division works now. You weigh in at 125, but they do a hydration test. So the strawweights are really, you could basically call them flyweighted, right? Like the exact same thing I just did. I like to always, I feel that I'm always in the gym training. I never get too carried away. I never embrace a win or a loss too much. I always go back, and there's always more work to be done. But I blew up to 159 after Singapore. I didn't know you can gain 35 pounds in a month and a half. But we went back to intermittent fasting and low-carb diet and everything, and I'm right back on track now for flyweight. I've never missed weight in 27 fights. I don't plan on doing it now, especially after making flyweight 4 days in a row and then that. But that's one advantage I feel I'm going to have against Gabe. He fought flyweight his debut. He beat Keegan Oliver. My old training partner, Derek Manchild, fought Keegan. Tough kid, actually. He had cancer, I think a few years back. So hats off to Keegan. I know he's no slouch. So that's a good win at flyweight. But one's not enough. Not when I have 27 fights at, well, 26. I fought Mateo at 35.
Just give me a second. I'll be back. I think there's someone at the front door of my job. Fucking working at an hotel, and the chef just came by, and his key's not working, so I had to fucking let him in.
Gotta do what you gotta do, man. You're a hard worker by the sounds of it. I don't know how you do nights, man. I couldn't do nights.
Bro, I just fucking sleep at day. But nah, to be fair, I'm a night guy. I have always been a night guy, and like, because of my pages and stuff that I'm doing online, like, often, I've been pretty much working in restaurants my whole life, I'd say. So often I work the night shifts, like closing and shit. So I'm used to like finishing work at maybe 12, 11 at night, and then going home and doing my stuff until like 3 or 4 in the morning. So just gotta stay up a few more hours and my night shift is done. It's like from 11 to 7 a.m. So it's not that bad. And I'm just in time to just come back to my city, because it's about half an hour away. So I just come back to my city, go roll in the morning at like, sometimes call up on people to go at 8 a.m. Or I just go to the class at like 9 or 10 in the morning. And then I can sleep like from let's say noon to 8, 9 p.m. So I get my full night of sleep, but my full day of sleep. But it works out.
Right on, man. We're gonna have to roll next time I'm in Montreal, man. It'd be an honor.
Ah, of course, man. Just hit me up and we'll set it up. That'd be great. I'm looking forward to roll with anybody who wants to roll, man. I always like to test myself against you guys,
because
I'm a real.
What gym do you train out of?
I'm not in Montreal per se. I'm in Saint-Jean-sur-Richelieu, which is like maybe half an hour away. Like let's say Montreal is Toronto. I'm in Whitby basically, or Oshawa. So we're basically a Nova Uniao gym.
Okay, nice.
So we often come to Toronto, train with Wagney and guys. Our teacher just got his black belt, and yeah, I roll out of that gym pretty much every day. And fuck yeah, because I like to roll with you guys, because I'm a real jiu-jitsu guy. Like I fucking pull guard and shit. I don't like to wrestle that much. I'm a bottom guy. I do. So it's cool to roll with MMA guys, because like most of you guys got like, I know not you though. You're a crazy motherfucker. I've seen you fight and shit, but like most MMA guys, they try to like wrestle, stay on top, like real position based stuff. And I'm like that fool, that fool in Avgard rolling for knee bars and shit.
Nice, man. Yeah. Hey, I don't mind being on my back for as long as it's not too long, because that doesn't score you too many points. I like to. If I'm on my back, you can definitely count on a submission coming up real quick. But because you can lose if it goes the distance, that's when you start losing points, right? A lot of judges see it a little bit different on the bottom, right? But thanks, man. I appreciate it. My style is definitely I like to think it's pretty unique. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course, but like. I think that's the main thing that defined your TKO fights, basically, is that if you look at your record after TKO, you're like, oh shit, okay, 1-3, that guy's like, not that good. But if you looked at your fights, like, none of these fights were like washes. None of these fights were like, oh shit, that guy got wrecked, that guy got handled. It's more like you had a complete disregard for the scoring system, and you were just there doing your stuff. And sometimes you were on bottom and you were not scoring, but you were still doing well. You were still trying your stuff. And like looking at the fights, they were all really close. They were all really competitive. But like in the end, you lost them because you probably just didn't give a single fuck about that scoring system, and you were just doing your stuff. So, but it's great to have seen that adjustment for you too in your fights after, where you've been able to keep more positions, control more on the ground, and go get your stuff, guys. We see you're a real finish oriented fighter. Like either way, you're going to be looking to end the fight, but I feel like now you're more able to just get a position and work from there, instead of like, man, your first fight, you were just jumping on stuff, like basically jumping on stuff from whenever you are. And like, it's cool to see, but doesn't work out that well in MMA. So like, now we're starting with you to find a real middle ground between being a crazy ass action grappler and a guy who can win some fights by being an action grappler.
I appreciate that, man. Hey, you're one of the best analysts in the game. I'd give you number two compared to my boy Robin Black. No
yeah,
offense,
of course,
but,
man. What am I gonna do against Robin Black, man?
He commented on my post today. I shared something. We had a little heart to heart. So shout out to Robin Black. He's actually commentated 5 out of my 7. The cool thing I can take away from what he says watching it, right?
Yeah, and like Robin Black is like, if like we exclude Canada, it's fucking top 5 analysts like in the world, basically. Like, This guy, like, even
the
best promotions, like, they call upon him to analyze their fights and do like his little breakdown that he does with fucking arrows and shit on the board. he's amazing. I really love speaking with him too at the event when I get to see him. He's one of my guys too. He's a very cool guy too. And like real fucking passionate guy. Like you can speak MMA with this guy for hours and hours and he's always got something to say, something to add. And it's always intelligent. You can always like you say, reflect upon that and say, oh shit, that thing he said like was real intelligent and you can apply that to your game and like improve because of him basically.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, right? He's like another coach almost when it comes down to watching your own fights, right? You can see, okay, I did this or I did this and it all starts to, the puzzles start to go together, right? And you end up with a beautiful picture. But, yeah, actually some of his latest work, I don't know if you followed, his Lethwei trip over to, Myanmar.
Yeah.
He commented, shout out to my boy, Dave LeDuc, actually. I've been to Thailand, 3 times. And, my very first year, Dave LeDuc was my, I've never met him in Canada, but, I see him every time I go down to Tiger Muay Thai. And, I've had a personal with him and stuff. Actually, I did a little personal before the Jordan Graham fight with him. Yeah, under the bus just a little bit. I ran a mountain with him my first year and I beat him, but I hope he doesn't see that. Yeah.
Yeah, man, Dave LeDuc, he's my guy too when because I'm good friends with Julien Leblanc, who trains out of Patnaud in Gatineau, which is Dave's gym when he's here, which is never basically, but still. Like his head coach is still Sifu Pat, which is Julien's head coach and like, I rolled with him once, man, because Dave started in grappling, actually. He was the guy, he organized grappling tournaments and Gatineau and shit. And, man, like, he's weird. And he's got his head, his fucking head, man. I have never felt something like this. Like, first, the motherfucker is, like, digging his head everywhere to secure positions and shit. He's like, if he takes your back, he won't get you like when you got your seatbelt, he won't take you to the good side to do his choke. He's gonna take you like to the bad side with his choking arm down. And he's kind of digging with his head to push your head into the choke to secure it. Like he uses his head for fucking everything. And like it's so hard, man. So stupid, dumb hard. Like, you can see this guy's probably like headbutting fucking walls to practice. So.
Coconuts, actually. I seen him break a coconut with his head.
Yeah, basically that's it. He's fucking crazy. I like him so much. But yeah, I thought it was cool for Robin Black to be there. I really liked the event where Dave fought Seth Basinski. It was like really presented as like a real fucking sport, something that exists. Like not a, cause like. I feel like people's perception on Lethwei is like the crazy stupid fight sport that's happening like only in one isolated country in the world. But now it's been presented as something like, and I feel like the show is even better than like a bare knuckle boxing show that we can see around here. So
100%. Like I seen him make a post last week, bare knuckle fight league's always saying how they're the most deadliest sport and stuff, and he's like, what a joke, like they ever heard of Lethwei. In perfect sense, man. Like I said at the start of this, I come from a rough part of town, actually, from the very get-go. So I mean, I'm cool with soccer kicks and stuff. I think, you know, I don't know about the headbutts in MMA. I think maybe a lot of guys maybe would beat guys, but that they shouldn't. But at the same sense, why not, right? Like less rules the better. Like if you think you're better than me, what do you bring to the table, you know? Like even if a headbutt knocks out all your teeth and you can never fight again, I mean, people want to people want to see blood, right? That's one thing that I do. I've always, just because I am a grappler, and if you've seen all my fights, right? So I do try to take it to the ground every single second of the fight. So, and I've been criticized myself because of that, right? He's boring, or like people want to see a knockout and stuff, right? So even though I broke six guys' arms, that's not good enough sometimes. They just want to see, you know, and Dave brings that. That's why I think he's the perfect poster boy to a new sport like that. It's not new. It's probably one of the oldest sports, martial arts, but he's the face of it right now, and he's actually trying to bring it to America now. And I think if anyone can do it, he's the guy that can do it as well. So I respect anybody, any martial artist. I bug my coach a little bit sometimes about boxing being, because boxing technically is a match and you get 10 seconds to, but I mean, at the same sense, like some of those guys, like the statistics for brain damage and stuff, and like look at how many people died last year in boxing. That doesn't happen in MMA, right? So it's something that I have respected. I'm starting to respect them a lot more, even though there's a lot more rules and big gloves and stuff. But like, I mean, anybody who's gonna risk their life, like even an amateur, I used to have this sign on the dotted line: you can't sue anybody if you die, or your family can't sue anybody if you die. Obviously, right? Like, we're truly risking our life just for some people to buy a ticket, basically. So, back to boxing. Like, I respect them. Like, sometimes you hear people talk about jiu-jitsu, like, I got a jiu-jitsu fight coming up and stuff, and it's such, to me, that is such a, I love jiu-jitsu as much as the next guy. I didn't learn how to break people's arms for no reason. jiu-jitsu is my life as well, but some guys that will never step in the cage because they're too scared to take a hit, right? For me, it's all about pulling the trigger. That's why I don't stand up that much. I think if I get knocked out and I never shot for the takedown, I'd regret it, right? Because that's my bread and butter. But to me, some people that call, they got to watch how they say, oh, I got a jiu-jitsu fight coming up, because there's so many guys like me that are watching and they're like, you better call that a match, man. Because it's a match. Did you sign the dotted line that you're risking your life? I don't think so.
Yeah, no, I'm absolutely with you, because I do jiu-jitsu matches at amateur show, MFLs and Fight Quest and all these shits. I love to do it because I like to compete. I like to roll with everybody, but like, last time I rolled with a guy that's fighting in TKO, Yann Jacolin. He's a 170, and like, I would never say, oh, I was fighting against Yann Jacolin. I was like rolling with Yann Jacolin. We had a roll. It was like the same fucking thing as the gym, but there was some people, so I was trying some stupid moves because like I wanted to be fun for people. Like, I wasn't like gonna just like sit there in half guard and, oh man, I got him in half guard, I'm on top, I'm winning. Like, that you try stuff, you try. But yeah, I'm absolutely with you on that. Like, it's not a fight. Like, he wasn't gonna elbow me in my face. Like, I wasn't gonna punch him, I wasn't gonna kick him. Like, we weren't getting hurt in that fight. Nobody was gonna get hurt. If he had me in an ill look, I would have tapped, man. I wouldn't have like popped my fucking knee, cause like I was feeling like Superman or shit. Like, it's a match, man. We do this for fun. And like, yes, when you go into like jiu-jitsu tournaments, it's more competitive. People are trying to really like choke you good, or like people won't be kind when they get an armbar on you. They're gonna fucking like smash it, and like, but still, it's not a fight. We're not getting punched. We're not getting kicked. I'm not going to go home and fucking vomit all day because I got a concussion and shit. Like, I'm going to be good. I'm going to go eat that Five Guys burger and fucking be fat and smoke a bunch of weed. And like, so.
Hey, well, you know, it is a simulation. It's a simulation of death a lot of times. I've been put to sleep 5 times in my jiu-jitsu training. So, and I'll be honest, 4 of them are gi chokes. Loop choke. I pass the guard and my brain doesn't register. I think of it like a guillotine. Oh, I'm past your guard. I can't tap to that because I'm past his guard. But a loop choke with the gi, it tricks MMA guys like me because I'm tough. I'll go to sleep, but I'll tap to the guy. Like, if he's got me dead to rights, but I think of it like a guillotine a lot of the times, and I've been put to sleep. So jiu-jitsu can be a simulation of death. Like, don't get me wrong. Most of these jiu-jitsu guys that caught me, they could have caught me in an MMA cage if they had a big enough sack, you know? So, but it's a different game, and I just think sometimes they don't understand that if they're on their Facebook posts and they're like, I got a fight and this and that, how many real fighters that put it on the line are pissed off, because it is a disrespect with, and most people they just don't understand, right? So I don't blame them, but as soon as they have enough education, they gotta kind of realize, you know. And I used to look at boxing a lot like that too, because you know, like if you're getting hit, then you get 10 seconds, and then I don't know about you, but like sometimes when I get hit in sparring or something, if I got 10 seconds, I'm pretty clear headed after that 10 seconds. Let's go another 20 rounds, you know. But so that's why I've always looked at it like a match, and to me, mixed martial arts, it's the closest thing to a fight, you know. If you're fighting for your life, that's a fight, you know, to me. So that's why I fell in love with MMA, and I might not be much of a striker, but at the same sense, I'm willing to die in there. So every time I make amends with that thing in my brain that tells me don't do it, James, don't hurt yourself. I mean, my mom tells me it enough. So, but I remember the first guy's arm I broke, she cried after, and she didn't cry for him. She cried because that could happen to me too, right? If they could do it to me, they would. So, knock on wood, I haven't been too hurt in any of my fights, but. Yeah, I love the game.
Yeah, and like you've been saying, like, I feel like getting put to sleep is really easier with fucking geese on, because, like, it happened 2 times to me, and both times, I just never knew I was getting choked. Like, basically, like, because it's tough when you get put in a good rear naked choke and people, the person squeezes. Like, it's mentally tough not to tap. It's tough to pass out from that shit, because, like, you can't breathe, and, like, there's natural parts of your body that say, man, just fucking tap and he's gonna let go of you and you're gonna be able to breathe again and you're gonna, like, not die from this. So, I feel like it's tougher to not tap from a rear naked choke than, like, first time I got put to sleep, the guy tried a reverse triangle on me, but I slipped my arm out. So he just closed his triangle, but he only had my head. So I was like, yeah, like, I can't breathe good right now, but it's not a triangle, man. He doesn't have one of my arms. Got my both arms free. He's only have my head. So, like, I was just fighting, defending, trying to not get choked, and he just took my leg and fucking squeezed it, and he passed me out, because, like, I never knew I was, like, basically in a choke. And another time, the same thing, but with the gi and fucking lapels everywhere, and, like, at a point, I was just, like, it was getting tight, and I need to defend. And as I was saying, I need to defend, I just woke up and I was like, oh, fuck, okay, what happened? So, So I feel you on that, like, gi chokes, like, loop chokes, shit like that. Sometimes you just, you don't know you're getting choked, and you're like, ah, I'm gonna fight through this, I'm gonna pass the guard, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. And by the time you're trying to do the steps you're trying to do, man, you're just sleeping and fuck.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah, I don't know what getting knocked out feels like, but man, I am so scared of getting knocked out. That's why I wrestle so much in my MMA, because if I was gonna stand there and brawl with somebody, I'd do it. And I'm okay at striking in sparring, but sparring is much different. When you get in there, I constantly think, and I'll throw strikes, don't get me wrong, I'll throw some strikes, but I gotta bring it to the, or I gotta at least try to bring it to the ground in the first round, because to me, if I don't take the shot and I get knocked out for the first time, which hasn't happened yet in 27 fights, I don't know if I can, I don't know if I can live with that, you know? So, it's something we're constantly working on. I gotta pull that trigger, to compete with these guys. I have to be able to imply it in my game a bit anyway. That's why I don't favor my ground game in my training. I'm always sparring, Jordan Graham. I sparred Jordan Graham actually after we fought. We sparred before Singapore actually. We did a little stand up. So, and he told me I had a nice jab. So thanks, Jordan. But he's a good dude. I wish he'd fight again still, because you know,
he was great, man. He was super great.
Everybody wants the rematch, right? So, but at the same sense, he's a good dude. They constantly ask me to fight Tony again too, which, hey, all these fights could happen again. But I'm not one of those guys that I don't hunt for rematches. Don't get me wrong, I want to fight anybody who beat my ass for sure. But at the same sense, I'm not going to go out of my way to, I'm just going to put it on the line against whoever wants it. It turns out Gabe wants it next. So, that's who's getting it, you know? We're gonna put it on the line, and we're gonna see who's the better man that night. That doesn't matter, you know, you could be the best one night, you could be the best one night, doesn't matter. But we train to beat, if you're a real fighter, you gotta train to beat someone on your worst day, right? So, that's look at it, just 100% effort all day. I plan on sprinting with this guy for five-minute rounds. If I don't get the finish right away, I'm going to still be hunting that finish in the fifth round. And I got a strength and conditioning coach now. So, I mean, you're going to see a whole different suplex kit. I didn't get to really showcase it in Singapore. I did all right in Singapore, don't get me wrong. Like I said, the finals was controversial, but they were 3-minute rounds. It was kind of cool to have a little taste of an amateur rule set again, even though they were pro fighters on an amateur level. And there was nobody in the crowd. I don't need a crowd. They were, if anything, it was all fighters that were the crowd. There was something like 500 fighters in the building. So you're just the crowd is all fighters. So, I mean, sure, you're not trying to impress nobody but yourself, right? And whether there's 10,000 people screaming my name or 10,000 people booing me, I'm ready to put it on the line every single second of that fight.
Great.
And I think that's what's going to show. I just wanted to touch on one thing. Like,
yeah,
I don't mind. I have my weaknesses. He has his weaknesses. I think I'm a better wrestler. I think our jiu-jitsu's even. He uses his striking a little bit more in his fights. To me, it doesn't mean he's a better striker one bit. But one thing I know for sure, I got a bigger heart than this kid. So that's one thing that's going to show. He's going to fade in the later rounds if it goes that far. And I'm just going to bring him into deep waters and try and drown him.
Basically, that was my last question. I was like, what are we expecting from this fight? But you just answered it, so we're gonna be looking forward to that one for sure. Personally, I hope you guys just fucking grapple for 5 rounds. Like, that's me. Like, man, he's a black belt. You're probably one of the best grapplers on the Canadian MMA circuit. And by far, I must say so. That's what I want to see. But man, if you come out and you're just like outstriking the shit out of him, I'll be super happy too. Cause I always like to see like evolution from fighters. I'm really interested in prospects and like how fighters develop, how much time does it take typically for a fighter to come from like debuting pro fighter to like UFC or bigger promotion level fighter to elite level fighter. So to see evolution in people's game, that's always what you want to see. So I'll be happy either way. But man, if you guys just put on a 25 minute grapple fest, that's gonna be my shit, and that's gonna be my fight of the night for sure if that happens. So
Well, favorite, I can promise you one thing. If I come out and I establish that jab and I got a mean overhand right too, I can promise you one thing. There's going to be a takedown every fucking round of this fight. Whether it's one round and done or five-minute rounds, you're going to see a takedown every fight. Hey, he might pop back up right off the bat. I might pop back up right off the bat. But the one thing I'm good at is scrambling. So, whether or not, like I said, I'll throw up submissions all day on the bottom, but at the same sense, I know I can scramble like the best of them too. So he doesn't take a step back, I don't take a step back. We're gonna go head to head, and we're gonna see who's the bigger man. Like, and I ain't talking about size.
Man, I'm gonna let you go on that. We've done quite a long time, almost 50 minutes. So I guess we've got a full episode there. No need to interview nobody else for next week. You're on, James Clark. That was amazing, my man. Thanks a lot. And fuck, man, just hit me up whenever you want to do this. There's always a place for you on the podcast.
Hey, much respect, favor. Actually, my mother's last name is Arsenal. So I'm actually a bit French myself. I don't speak a word of it. Your English is much better than mine. Very, very good, actually. I love to follow your stuff, and thank you for the shout outs giving me 10th fighter of the year. It means the world to a kid who came from nothing and got to this point. So this guy called me the paper champ. I don't fight for paper. We're fighting for blood, sweat, and tears. I hope you're ready, Gabe.
Hey, that's a pleasure, man. You're my man, James Clark. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, bro.
Bye.
Bye.